Live from Sarah's apartment in Brooklyn.
It's all very exciting. I've never been here before.
It's true, but you just like, you wandered in and then you just found a seat.
Yeah.
It was like you had lived here for years.
It's fine. I'm comfortable in people's houses.
I like that. I like it when people are comfortable in my house, largely because my house is sort of, I like to say homey.
I realized the other day, and it's like, I don't even really care. I'm a terrible housekeeper. I mean, it's not like hideous or whatever. Like you wouldn't like run out.
Right.
But I just am like, oh God, there's so many other things I'd rather be doing.
You know, I agree. It feels like life is too short to have white carpet. Kate Claiborne.
My mom has white carpet and it stresses me out a lot.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No.
I like to not worry.
Also, our cats barf everywhere. I mean, yeah, you guys, well, I'm sorry.
We have a dog, so it's the same. All right, what are we doing? This is, you guys love us, and that's really nice.
It is nice.
We're always a little surprised when we ask you to do something, and then you all do it. but 2 days ago, we decided Jen was going to be here in New York, and she was going to come over, and later... I've made like a luncheon for her and her family. So we said, well, why doesn't Jen come early and we'll do a request, an all request episode. Yes. We ended up with so many questions.
Yeah.
That we're actually going to do two.
Well, and so Kelly agreed to sort of like collect all of the questions for us. And then because Kelly likes to put glitter on everything, she actually made a slide deck, which everyone's question is individually queued up with their names and their Twitter handles or Instagram handles. And
it's bonkers is what it is. I'd be like, here is our Google spreadsheet. No, whatever. I would have been like, sure. DM us.
And I would have been like, that's a terrible idea. Actually, I'll tell you a quick story, which is when I was getting married, Kelly was like basically my wedding coordinator. You know what I mean? Only I didn't pay her. She's just my best friend. And my father-in-law took to calling her the general. And he still calls her that. He's like, how's the general? I'm like, she's great because she'll just make everything better.
Yep.
And beautiful.
I love it.
And get people where they need to go.
Thank you, Kelly.
All right. Are we ready, Sarah? So,
wait. Welcome, everybody.
It's Faded Mates. I'm Jen Prokop. I'm here with Sarah.
Sarah McLean.
Oh,
Sarah McLean. We're recording together for the first time, so we apologize in advance for weird sound things.
Yeah.
And if this is your first episode of Faded Mates, welcome. It's going to go different than the rest of the...
Well, and here's the other thing. Some of the questions are, like, kind of stump. We had a lot of fun with the Wicked Wallflowers having people, like, stump us. So some of them are just going to be, like, people asking for recommendations. We haven't seen them before. But then also, we also said you can do, like, AMA-style questions. So we are just going to...
Yeah, we have something like 80 questions, so obviously we're not going to get through everything, but we will save this document and come back to them maybe a few times. Maybe we could add one to every interstitial or something.
Yeah, oh, there you go. That would be fun. Okay. All right, so Ennis from New York City says, I'd like a book that is like Lothair by Cressley Cole or Cole the Cold Heart by Kay Webster, where the hero is someone who would be a villain in any other book. A megalomaniac, horribly damaged, murderous, whatever, and a heroine who takes none of his shit and brings him to his knees.
Well, Ennis... Coming summer 2020, I will have a book for you. So yeah, pre-order Daring and the Duke, everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, let's see. What else though?
You know what's great about...
Well, we did our anti-hero episode.
Right. So we've talked a little bit about this. I think what's great about this question is that it really does... it's like really the heart of romance to believe that any villainous person can be redeemed. That's a really good question. Let me think about it. God, I feel like... Well, I mean, I think a lot of... To me, a lot of, like, dark romance kind of flirts with this, right? But it's always, like, how close can you get before you think that the person is really not redeemable, right?
Well, so here's a series that might work for you. What about Sky Warren's King, the Queen,
the Pawn?
It's all chess names. And it's... it's real morality chain. Like, you're looking for true morality chain, I think.
Right.
Romance. Here, I'm going to... The problem with... No. We both have our computers open because we haven't seen these questions before.
And we don't remember titles.
We don't remember any titles of anything. So, the first one... Oh, it's not. Actually, she has a lot of chess piece stories, but this is just a duet. It's called The Masterpiece Duet. You do need to read both books for the full HEA. The first book is The King, and then the second book is The Queen, obviously. And it is real dark. But people love Sky. I love Sky. I think Sky writes a really beautiful book. They can be too dark for me. Mm. And this, The King, was very dark. And I was very grateful that I could go immediately from The King to The Queen.
Yeah, to like not, right, yeah.
Just a content warning for this one. There is a rape in it.
Okay. Yeah, I think the other really hard part about this one is the heroine who takes none of his bullshit, right? Like, that's the part. It's easy to write a terrible hero. I think it's hard to write a heroine who takes none of his bullshit. So I guess, you know, I think what's also going to happen is we're going to record and I'm going to keep thinking in like 7 questions from now, like something's going to pop into my brain. But we're going to try and really like commit to lightning rounding these and keep going.
Yeah, this is a long one. Sorry. Yeah. First one.
Yeah, no, but that's great. I mean, and I think also we can, like, the other thing we're really hoping is that as people hear these questions, when they have ideas, we can just get a big Twitter thread going. So we might even put these into show notes as like questions.
Yeah, you're right. Takes none of his shit is the problem, because I can think of a lot of books where like the hero is villainous,
right?
But the heroine is like soft,
yes,
and kind,
right,
and kind of breaks him in that way,
right?
But like breaks him by putting him in his place,
yeah,
is a different kind of heroine.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to just toot my own horn, but
that's just,
I've got one. I've got one coming, you guys. Yeah. Ennis, Daring and the Duke, Grace is not going to be soft and kind.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one from Leslie from Washington, D.C., one looking for Jewish heroes and heroines, but does not have to be holiday-themed. So I'm going to recommend always, I feel like Shira Glassman is the person I go to for this recommendation. Mm-hmm. She has 2 books I really love. Knit One, Girl Two is a lesbian romance. It is like Closed Door, very great. One of the heroines is a painter, I think, and one it makes like hand-dyed yarn. And the yarn maker is inspired by like a color palette in the painter's portraits, and they get together and like, oh my God, it's so cute. They like dye yarn together. And then they are also both big fangirls of a comic book called Cinnamon Blade. And then Shira actually went and wrote a sort of story within a story where Cinnamon Blade is like then a heroine in her own lesbian romance, and she falls in love with like the woman that she keeps saving, and that one's real spicy. And I also talked about that one on the Heaving Bosoms, and that they are both just like really perfectly delightful.
So I'm going to add Tamsin Parker's Craving Flight to this one.
Okay.
Craving Flight is a BDSM erotic romance, about set in the Orthodox Jewish community.
Wow.
Which, you can imagine adds like a whole layer of like, how is this ever going to happen? Erotic BDSM. And the heroine is a professor and the hero is a butcher, and they have like a marriage of convenience that is also about like this kink that they share. And Tamsin, Jen has talked about Tamsin before. We've talked about Tamsin before. She writes a bananas hot book.
Yeah.
And that is Own Voices.
And talk about
Felicia Grossman.
Sure,
is the other book that
and
I
this
wanna...
is. It's nice to have historical in here too. And I actually, I'm going to admit, I haven't read this book only because my friend Liz is always looking for Jewish heroes and heroines. And as soon as I got this book at RWA, I actually was like, Liz, I want you to read this, and she loved it. But you could talk a little bit more about it, I think, because you read it.
Yeah, Felicia Grossman. She has a 2-book series. I think there are only 2 books out right now. I don't know if it's going to be a longer series, but it's called The Truets, And the book I'm going to recommend is book number 2, which is Dalliances and Devotion. The heroine is a double divorcee. It's set in the 1870s in America. And the hero is, so she is like a newspaper columnist, or writes a beauty column for a magazine or something. And then it's like a little bit of a road trip romance too. He's a Pinkerton, he is protecting her on this journey. So it's like road trippy and they've known each other for, lost love regained book. And, it's delicious. And both the hero and the heroine in that book, I believe, are Jewish. For sure the hero is. So,
yeah. Well, and we'll link
to Felicia talks a lot about own voices, Jewish historicals, and she has a lot of really like thoughtful threads, especially recently, because I had this like real weird thing that happened to me this week, where somebody sent me a list of the top romances of 2019, and the number one romance was The Tattooist of Auschwitz, which is wrong on like infinite levels.
Felicia had some great threads about it, which we'll link to in show notes. And we should also shout out Stacey Agdern, who writes really thoughtful, like, lists about Jewish romance on Twitter about Jewish romance, writes Jewish romance herself. Yep. And so we actually have a couple lists that we can link to as well.
Stacey has two novellas in the Rogue anthologies, both with Jewish characters. And also I want to shout her out because when we were putting together the Trailblazers video for the Ritas, Stacey really pinch hit on making sure that we had Jewish rep in that video.
That's great. Awesome. Okay. Here is, Daniela from Winnipeg, Canada.
Daniela.
We're going to start with AMA first.
Is Daniela a Cressley Cole name? It is.
Oh,
is that her name? Daniela? Danny?
I think so. Murdoch and Danny. Well, she has
Ice Valkyrie.
Yeah. Danielle from Winnipeg, who's also an Ice Valkyrie, clearly from Winnipeg. And she has an AMA question and then a recommendation. We're going to start with her AMA question, which is, if there was a battle royale between all the IAD heroes, who would win? Does the answer change if they can't use weapons? Wait, before we answer this, have you ever read that really hilarious blog entry that someone wrote about what would happen if all the presidents were in a knife fight together?
No, but I want to read that right now.
It is the funniest.
Who would win?
I can't tell you. You'll have to wait and read it. I think maybe people decided Lincoln.
Reach. He's very tall.
He's very tall. Yeah. In a knife fight, that would really help you. I'm just saying. Well, I'm going to find it, but this is what this reminds me of. Okay.
Who would win in a fight?
Who would win a battle royale of all the IAD heroes?
Only because Nyx is my answer.
I was like, Nyx would win because she would know.
It feels, okay, with weapons, it feels like Rune would win because he's got all those death arrows.
Sure, that's true. So with weapons, sure.
But so the answer does change.
Yes.
Without weapons because I love him very much, but I don't think he would win without weapons.
I feel like one of those Lyca would just be, like, tearing people up.
Yeah, like, Bowen would just... If you put Mariketta in trouble...
Oh, yeah,
like, Bowen. The question... There's also...
Who's
third
in
question,
danger?
Is someone in danger?
Sure.
Because if the heroines are in danger, then... Oh,
then they all kill each other. And then the heroines are like, great, let's go out for brewskis.
You're right. Like, my money's on a Lyca. Although, it could be...
I feel like Declan Chase. And I'm going to say why. Here's why. He's got the berserker rage. And we also know that he is just real shitty. I think, right?
He's got it in him.
Lothair would just be like, I'm too busy for this.
Unless Elisaveta was in trouble.
Oh, fuck.
And then
for sure.
He would destroy everything.
Yes.
You know who would not win? Thronos.
Oh, God, no.
Thanos.
Yeah, I was like, Thronos.
Wait,
no.
Not Thronos.
I know. I was like, let's actually easier be like, who'd go down first? Thronos is dead
for
meat.
Sure. Probably Abyssian, too, because he's just so whiny.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him.
Sure, of course. No, he's
Conrad not gonna... would destroy someone if Naomi was in trouble.
Sure. Yeah, I feel like the Roth brothers
as a team
would team up and then,
be fine.
Yeah, that's my theory, too. That's a great question. Okay, so Kristen from DC has looking for DC exclamation point. LGBTQ romance easily available in print for my book club. We do it through a local indie bookshop, and we are having a hard time finding things other than Kat Sebastian and Olivia Waite from Avon. I know.
It's true, man.
Adriana Herrera is your answer. I think
one of them.
Yeah, one of the American Dreamer series. And because they're Karina, they are available in print. They're, you know, I think I've bought them.
Yep.
So I think they're under $10. They're widely available. It's not like Lightning Source, which if you don't know means it's like essentially print on demand. And some indie bookstores won't carry those. So I would say it's sad that there's not a whole lot, right? I do really think
anything that you're going to find is going to be Karina, is going to be traditionally published, right? So there's Red, White, and Royal Blue, which everybody, it feels like everybody's read.
Yeah.
There is.
What about other Karina titles? Like, does, or like, I know Mika James does some Harlequin Dares, but I bet those are only an E, that are, that's a lesbian romance that's pretty great.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know.
Annabeth Albert.
Oh, yeah.
We like her.
Those are great. She's got one called Gamers, and then there's, like, the one about the military guys.
Mm-hmm. And then there's, I guess those aren't, those are really expensive. The Riptide books are pretty expensive.
But they probably are in print.
But they are in print. I'm thinking about Vanessa North. I'm thinking about KJ Charles, but I don't actually know if KJ is still with, I don't know if any of these people are still publishing with Riptide, though.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would say
KJ is for sure available in print.
Yeah. Well, and that you can never really go wrong there.
No, she's just.
But yeah, it's hard. If they're $15 or $20, I get it. But I would say look for what's in Karina and for sure Adriana.
Oh, and Anna Szabo.
Oh, you're right.
Shit, I still don't remember how to say their name.
Szabo.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I asked.
Yeah. One of the first books we ever recommended on the podcast.
Yes.
So her Syncopation
series is for sure available in print.
I was going to say Syncopation Trepidation Reverb. It's not trepidation.
That doesn't sound like a very good romance. Let's not write that one.
Anna Szabo.
Oh, really funny. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Courtney from the Bodice Tipplers, which is another romance podcast.
Hi, Courtney.
Wants a book that made us fall in love with the genre.
Well, Courtney, listen to this whole season.
Every book. I'm so simple that way. I would say, but it's a really good question.
It really made us fall in love.
Fall in love with the genre.
We're probably going to talk about it, but it's nobody's baby but mine.
Susan Elizabeth Phillips.
I think I was young enough that Susan, like, I had stars in my eyes for athletes. I love how funny Susan is.
Yeah.
And there was just something so deeply charming about that book. And I think it taught me, like, oh, I'm going to love, like, this is a genre that I can, like, you know, roll around in.
Yeah, I think I'm going to answer this question, like, what's a book that, like, I've read lately that has made me feel that way? And it's The Bride Test by Helen Wong.
Oh, what a good one.
When you're reading and you're like, I have that smile on my face?
Yeah.
That book made me feel that way. And I literally both laughed and cried when reading that book, which to me is like the highest praise. So, you know, for sure, old Susan Elizabeth Phillips and Julie Garwood and Jude Devereaux, like I read all those books, but like books now that if someone was like, what should I read? Right. I feel like The Bride Test is a book I would press into pretty much anyone's hands and really feel like I was gonna give them like the best of the genre.
Yeah.
And that's what I would say for me now.
That's a really good choice.
Oh, I love
that. I mean, I feel that way about, well, I feel that way about a lot of people.
Yeah.
Keep listening, everyone.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Allie from New York City, originally now Western Pennsylvania. We're going to act, this is actually really cute. We're going to do this AMA first, which is, how is Eric so good at podcast editing?
Oh,
I don't know either. It's magic. He yells at me a lot to get closer to the mic. That's how.
Yeah. Speaking of, oh, we're coming in hot. We need to check. We need to be.
Okay.
He's constantly yelling at us is actually how he's,
yeah,
that's part of it.
It's a little confusing. Like, I'm too hot. I'm not close enough. I'm like,
I don't know. He's great. He went to music school.
Well, there you go.
So he thinks a lot about levels.
Yeah.
And also he is a musician. So he thinks a lot about recordings.
There you go.
So that's probably part of it.
Sure.
And also he edits things for a living.
Yeah.
So that's good too. His name is Eric Mortensen, by the way. If you have a podcast, he edits podcasts for a living. So, you go. Okay. I have an answer.
Yeah, I do too. You go first with the answer, but she'd also like a book that is a historical with witches and or magic.
Is your answer Jill Barnett's Bewitched?
It is not. So you go.
Oh my God, you guys. It's old school and I haven't read it in a long time. So, you know, take that with all it needs. But Jill Barnett, who is a very wonderful historical romance writer who I read, you know, right at the very start of my romance life, wrote a book called Bewitching. And the hero is this like grumpy, crusty grump. And the heroine is a witch. Like, and it's actually reads like totally like a historical, but basically like they get married and he's like, he is at the very beginning, he's like bewitched by her in this,
yeah,
in the like not witchy sense. Like he just is beguiled, mm-hmm, by her and he has like stars in his eyes and he wants to marry this like perfect, she's like a perfect old school heroine who like, you know, birds are sit on her shoulders and stuff. And he's like, she's amazing and I love her and I want to marry her. And then he finds out she's a witch and he thinks she has bewitched him into loving her. And the whole book is this sort of like marriage story of like him realizing that like, no, he just fucking loves her. What's wrong with you?
Right. Okay. Mine is pretty old school too. I feel like this is not something people really dabble in very much, but if you
good
remember,
choice.
There was a whole, there's like two book series by Teresa Medeiros. Is that how you say her name?
Medeiros.
Oh,
I think.
Sure. You know, and it was called, the one I really liked was called Touch of Enchantment. The first one was called Breath of Magic. And in this one, Tabitha Lennox, I mean, her name's Tabitha, and I believe she starts off with like a little black cat.
Sure, of course.
Right? She is a witch, but she kind of views it as like a curse, and she ends up essentially accidentally doing some time traveling to 7 centuries in the past where she falls in love with like some, you know, warrior in chainmail. And I remember reading this book, oh my God, for sure, like in the early 90s when it came out. And it's just really pretty charming. For the most part, I think it's aged pretty well. I've read it fairly recently in the past couple years. But the part about it is I feel like there was a whole era of like time travel romances. And mm-hmm. one of the things that was really funny about this one is she found a way to like come back, to like go back and forth.
Sure.
And I remember her like basically yelling at her parents, like, you know, send Advil and tampons. And I just thought, yes, like, what are we all doing time traveling back to a time when we didn't have like those basics, right? So yeah, that's like a pretty, and again, the whole question of like whether or not her magic makes her like evil to these sort of people from the past is like a big part of
yeah.
the plot and is pretty clever. So, yeah, that's fun. Okay. Hannah from Texas would like a book that has a Lucy Liu and Set It Up type heroine getting her actual HEA. I need ball-busting energy, falling in love with a guy or gal or whoever that deserves her.
What about Nisha Sharma?
Yeah, sure. I could see that.
What's the name of that book?
The one, the latest one? The, oh my God. Okay, wait, hold on.
There's
I'm
only
the cover.
Yeah, it's got this killer black cover. The heroine looks
oh, she's
just
in a black
gorgeous.
Leather jacket. It's, oh, the Takeover Effect.
The Takeover Effect.
I was like, I can do this.
The hero is a billionaire and there's a hostile takeover for his father's company and he's got you know, it's three hot brothers. And she comes in as like a corporate, she's a corporate lawyer.
Yeah, right. And she's essentially going to, I mean, like, really, it's like a lot of corporate espionage. And she's like essentially been tasked by her family to like get to the bottom of this. And then she ends up uncovering a whole bunch of like shenanigans in terms of like what's going on between these companies. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah. And there's like a bat, there's a, she's trying really hard to like, well, she's not trying, she's very good at her job, but she has to, she's try, she has to be above board, and like she has to be a badass to get the attention that she needs and the respect that she needs in the boardroom. And yeah, I loved it.
Okay, I'm not sure this will work or not.
Also, one for that one is Tracy Livesey. I guess it's not quite the same because she gets amnesia.
Oh, that we're going to talk about that in
never
the
mind.
Amnesia episodes. Wait, I don't know if you've ever read L. Kennedy, but
the Ménage.
Oh God, all those books, these like out of uniform series. But there's one in particular, and of course, you know, I have to look it up. They all have like this. They all have the word "hot" in the title. But there's one in particular, hold on, let me see, actually that whole series I think has really kick-ass heroines, and all of the heroes are Navy SEALs, and they all just like fuck like rabbits. It's actually insane.
They're all from Ménage County, Kansas, though.
They're all from Ménage County, Kansas. There's one in particular where, oh, I think it's this one. Seth and Miranda. Oh, where she's like it's Getting Hotter, I think, out of Uniform Book 4. And the heroine is actually an ex, she used to be a dancer like in Las Vegas, like a,
mm-hmm. like a showgirl.
Yeah. And she really has this goal to open up her own dance studio. She's a single mom, and she's basically, Seth is like really into her, but really scared by the fact that she has a kid. And she's like, I'm not here for your bullshit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just thought like the heroines in general in this series, I think really are well matched to the heroes. So that whole series might work for you. Okay. Jenica from North Carolina. I would like a book that has childhood friends to enemies to lovers, preferably contemporary. Whew. Childhood friends.
This feels like,
I feel like a million books are bubbling up, but it'll take me a minute to get there.
Well, it's too bad that you asked for contemporary, because I would have said coming in summer of 2020.
Well, in A Rogue by Any Other Name, right?
Oh, A Rogue by Any Other Name. Yes. But those are both historical, so don't do anything with those.
Okay. I feel like I want to recommend this Rhys Ryan book called His Until Midnight.
She's so good.
She's so good. Now, I'm not sure there's an enemy stop in the middle, right? But I feel like there's a bit of rivalry. So basically, it's got a charity auction, and what's supposed to happen is Tessa is the heroine, and she is supposed to be essentially, I think, like, I forget why. It's a bachelor auction, but her brother's supposed to get on stage or something and won't. I can't remember.
Right.
And so she's like, well, I'm just going to auction myself off. And all of a sudden, her best friend is like, wait, what? And he ends up bidding on her. And, you know, I love the fucking auction. Please, charity auction to romance is the trope I'm looking for in life. So that one might work. Although, like I said, I didn't really get that there was like enemies in the middle, but I definitely think that they, it might work. I think there's like a business thing that they're on different sides of, perhaps.
So my book is a little bit weird, but you know, I love a weird book, right? I'm going to rec Punk 57 by Penelope Douglas, which is new adult, and came out, I don't know, in like 2012 or I don't know. I don't know, a while ago. But the premise is these two people, or I guess it came out in 2016. The hero and heroine were pen pals from different schools in their town from like fourth grade. And instead of just doing like the pen pal assignment from the very start, they did it. They just kept on doing it. And you sort of have to suspend a little bit of disbelief because they sort of make this deal that they're never going to try and figure out who they are. Mm. So they go to separate schools in the same town. And then when they're 17, they meet and they figure out, or it's they sort of accidentally meet. And the heroine is in with a group of like pretty terrible bullies. Like, she's, like, a 17-year-old girl who's, like, friends with all the mean girls. Mm-hmm. And he sees her for the – when he meets her for the first time, he doesn't know this is her – this is his pen pal. And he sees her with her group of mean girlfriends, and he's like, this person is a disgusting person, like a disgusting human being. And he tells her off. And then she knows who he is, so she stops writing to him.
Oh.
And then it comes back around later. And it's, I really loved it. Like, it's weird and it's complicated. It makes you, you have complicated feelings about the heroine. Like, she's deeply unlikable in ways because she's 17 and makes bad choices.
Sure.
And you're, you know, 40 and would kind of, you hate that. but then, like, she figures her shit out and then they fall for each other. And I really, it's very different. And that is the first book that came to mind aside from historical. So
there you go. I also feel like Christina Lauren probably must have.
Surely.
Like, right. Like, I feel like this is a very Christina Lauren type of plot to me.
Yeah.
Cause she does, there's a lot of enemies to lovers in that. And so that's almost always like a, right.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All righty. Holly from Chapel Hill would like a book that has mutual pining. Friends to lovers, enemies to lovers, doesn't matter. Just give me every last drop of pining.
I love that too.
Tell them, like, I think pining.
Historical.
One
of my very favorite, top five historical novels of all time is Lorraine Heath's Waking Up with the Duke. Mm. And the premise is that the heroine is married to the hero's cousin. The hero has loved her forever. I mean, forever. So it begins with his pining. And she's married to the cousin, and the hero and the cousin got into a carriage accident, and the cousin is unable to produce, like, he is paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah.
So he cannot have a child.
Right.
So the cousin, it begins with the cousin saying to the hero, I need you to fuck my wife and get me an heir. And he's like wildly in love with her. Mm. And the wife in question, the heroine, is like, what now? Like, this sounds not great. So they agree that they're going to, like, spend, I think, a month together or something, like, to, like,
sure,
make sure that she gets pregnant. And she, too, begins to pine. And it's awful and heart-wrenching because how could this possibly work out? Because she is married to his cousin.
Yeah.
And it, in classic Lorraine Heath fashion, it's just, she will cut your heart out.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really good. I am going to recommend a book called On Broken Wings by Chanel Cleeton. This is before she's she's really famous now for writing The Last Year in Havana. But in this one, a woman named Danny, her husband is killed. He's in the military, and the husband's best friend, whose name is Easy, Alex Easy Rogers, has been pining after his best friend's wife since before he died. And so that, like, makes him feel guilty. And so he's like, just like, I'm going to help her or do whatever. But oh my God, the pining in this book is actually, it's unparalleled pining, I would say. It's a whole lot of pining. He just, oh God, he's so in love with her. I don't know if it's mutual pining, but I think she starts to feel for him. But then again, the guilt over it was my husband's best friend and can I move on? I mean, that to me is like the perfect pining setup. So there you go.
Oh, I love a husband's best friend story.
Oh, well, this, whew.
because there's so much guilt laid in there. The pining only works if there's like heavy layers of guilt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, absolutely. Okay, and actually, this is a great AMA question, also from Holly. What would your ideal book-centered vacation be?
A very warm beach and a lot of romance novels. But I suppose you mean, like, on theme for a book.
Or even, no, just, like, going somewhere with, like, a lot of cool book stuff, I would say, maybe. Like, I've always wanted to stay in the Library Hotel here in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, you should do that.
But I've never done it because it's expensive. But each room has a different... Oh, you could talk about Nora Roberts'
Dewey Decimal Hotel. Systems. Oh, yeah. If you're ever interested in going out to the Maryland-West Virginia border, because there's so much out there, you can stay in Boonesboro, Maryland, which is the hometown of Nora Roberts and the setting for Nora's Boonesboro trilogy.
Yeah.
And you can stay in the inn at Boonesboro, which is the inn from the books. And you can stay in all the rooms in the inn are decorated in on theme for famous couples throughout history.
Really cool.
So I've been in the Jane and Rochester room and the Oberon and Titania room.
Nice.
And Lisa Kleypas was in the Wesley and Buttercup
room. Okay, that's really cute.
And there's an Even Rourke room for the J.D. Robb fans in the house.
Super fun.
It's really fun.
I also will just like to say I like to read locally. So like if I'm somewhere, I like to read books set in that place.
Yes.
Which I just always think is really fun. So
agreed.
Okay. Kara, from Instagram, KARMBA on Twitter and Instagram, would like a book that has some sort of adventure or quest, but it is also a slow burn.
Well, I mean, this feels like it's Alona Andrews.
Oh, yeah, for sure, right?
You go, because...
Well, I mean, Alona Andrews, yeah, this is, like, a perfect recommendation. I mean, well, it's slow burn. The Hidden Legacy trilogy is 3 books, and they don't even get together until the end of book 2.
That's fucking nonsense.
But they are on a quest and an adventure. So, yeah, I would say, like, urban fantasy would really work for this. I also feel like a lot of historicals where they're, like, on a wagon train or some shit like that, a train.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Joanna Shoup, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they are boning pretty
fast. Yeah, I guess.
Not a slow burn.
Slow burns really aren't my specialty. Like, I like a fast incendiary burn.
I like a slow burn, but Adventure Quest plus slow burn is a tough one for me. But urban fantasy feels like it's right.
Yeah, right, for sure. Okay, I'm gonna keep thinking about that one. I feel like there's something in the back of my brain. Maybe it'll come back.
Oh, you know what else? What was the name of that fantasy series that I really liked? It's like the only one.
While you think of that, I am going to tell you a fantasy series by Ruby Dixon. And I just read it. It's not a series. It's a single book by Ruby Dixon called In Love with the Battle God, I think. Something like that. It's not part of the Ice Planet Barbarians. But it is perfect for this if you can do fantasy. And basically the heroine ends up essentially, it's a long story, magic, bound to the battle god. He's like a Thor-like character. And they actually have to go on this huge quest and adventure. She's essentially his anchor to the mortal realm. And at first he's like a battle god. He's so dismissive of her. And it's actually a really cool fantasy setup. And I like super slow burn, like the slowest of burns. I had to like read ahead a little bit maybe and make sure they were going to do it. They did.
Okay, the book I was going to recommend is A Promise of Fire, which is the first of Amanda Boucher's Kingmaker Chronicles, which is 3 books long.
Yeah,
but it's a very slow burn, and it's set in a fantasy world. The heroine. Can tell when people are lying.
That's such a good skill.
And so, and the hero, but the hero is like super duper honest, but like has to do some like lying in order to protect. And she, I'm going to say this, and then I'm hoping that I'm correct that this is the premise. But I think when she hears a lie, she is in pain.
Ooh.
And so he, like, by virtue of having to lie to her, is also like giving her, like, he realizes quite quickly that, like, he's causing her pain.
You know what? Another one that would count for this and for mutual pining would be Aurora Blazing by Jesse Mihalik, which is, again, a science fiction kind of romance or an adventure. But in Aurora Blazing, not only are these two MFers pining for each other, I mean, so much pining. He's like the head of security. She's like a space princess, but she had been married before. But they also go on an adventure and it's a pretty slow burn. So I would say Aurora Blazing could count for both this and the pining. So yay. Okay. Ooh, Chase from Germany is looking for...
Hey, Chase.
Is looking for male-male with a happy ending and the trope enemies to lovers.
Oh, I have one for this. Avon Gale wrote a book called... Avon Gale writes... She writes hockey romances and her... it's Avon Gale and Piper Vaughn and... The book is called Goalie Interference, and it's a classic sports trope, which is like hot shot goalie for the NHL team gets called like to the coach's office and he thinks he's gonna be named like starting goalie for the season. And they're like, please meet your new rookie teammate who is also really good at goalieing. You could tell, you guys, I don't know a whole lot about sports ball.
Fine.
But he's very good at goalieing, and you guys are going to compete for, like, to be the starting goalie on the team. And they are super duper hot. I love a hockey romance, actually. Like, sure. I think hockey players are pretty good. They're worth watching. And basically, they, like, are constantly at each other's throats and also, like, at each other in the rink.
Yeah.
you guys, I'm terrible at talking about sports romances. They're at each other
somewhere else, too. Woo!
So it's basically, like, perfect enemies to lovers because the conflict is so, like, if one of them gets to be starting goalie, the other one doesn't. And so, like, there really is no resolution that seems plausible.
Yeah. I have a couple of recommendations. I have Annika Martin wrote with Joanna Chambers a book called Enemies Like You, which, I mean, hello, it's right there in the title. And I think one's a bodyguard and one's a spy. And I think, like, essentially the bodyguard is trying to protect the person the spy is trying to kill. So there you go. And perfect. Then Layla Rain has a whole series called, I think it's Agents Irish and Whiskey. And I think the one that, like, and so I think some of them, they're essentially, like, they're two, I think it's the same agents going throughout, but they're partners, but I think that they're also, you know, like, sort of, like, not enemies, really, but more like rivals, right? Like, terms of, like, the FBI. But those are also, I think they end up, like, banding together and working together towards that one. So I feel like if you want this trope, sometimes it appears when one of them is in law enforcement or something like that, because that often, or, like, hockey, sports. Right? Like, sports. I mean, so it's sort of, like, built in already to, like, the world of the book. So I would recommend Layla Rain, and I think Annika Martin writes terrific books, and so that would probably be a real winner for you as well. Okay, Caitlin from Wisconsin would like a book with a plus-size heroine, an emphasis on fashion, and...
I have one.
Wait.
Oh, and...
Vampires would be nice, but not required. We love this question.
That had a plot twist, Caitlin.
It did. Okay, you go ahead and start.
Well, I had one.
No, I think vampires would be nice. Maybe we can do...
Emphasis on... Well, okay.
Yeah.
I have plus size heroine, emphasis on fashion.
Go for it.
Bella Andre had a book. Oh, I mean, like, a million years ago. Like, long before Bella Andre was writing the Sullivan series.
Right.
Called Take Me.
Oh, so good.
And it is so sexy. Talk about pining.
Oh, yeah.
The premise is the heroine has been friends with twin brothers since they were children. Mm-hmm. And she is best friends with one of the brothers. And, like, enemies.
Child, wait, this, we're, like, hitting here, previous you guys, ones.
See,
too.
Here we go. And also enemies with the other one of the brothers. Right. They just, she, like, she's convinced he can't stand her.
Right.
She's convinced, she doesn't really know why. Like, he's never been kind to her since they were children. Mm-hmm. Like, when they were children, they were friends. And then suddenly something happened.
Changed.
And she doesn't know what it is. And now she's best friends with one of the twins. And, like, but of course, because it's a romance novel, she's super into him. Like, yeah. And she cannot get him out of her mind. Like, she's obsessed with him. She is plus sized. She is a interior decorator, but her best friend is a fashion designer.
Right.
And so she gets hired through a confluence of romance events. The asshole brother needs an interior decorator for something. And he ends up flying her to Tuscany to shop for, like, stuff for the inside of this house. Who cares? And she packs her, like, frumpy clothes bag and then gets to Tuscany. And it turns out that her best friend, fashion designer, has filled the bag with, all the clothes that fit her and make her look, like, bananas hot. And then they just bone all over Italy.
Yeah.
And, like, she is my favorite kind of plus-size heroine because she is extremely uncomfortable with, like, her body. Like, yeah. She feels like she has been taught by the world that she is not attractive. And he is 6'5" and perfect in every way and wants her badly. And turns out has wanted her badly for
years.
Exactly. It's called Take Me, and it's great.
Yeah, I will say
vampires, though.
Whew. I'm not sure I have one for that, but I'm going to think about it because I feel like it's going to come to me, but we'll see. Another one that might work for you, though, is The King of Bourbon Street by Thea de la Salle.
That's a great one.
And she is, the heroine's name is, I think, Ariana, and she is, like, a society sweetheart, and, you know, they're just, like, fabulous. I don't know that it's fashion necessarily, but, like, I remember it just being very fashionable, right? Like, they're in this New Orleans hotel, mm-hmm. and it's, like, you know, she's got a lot of money, so she wears, like, sort of gorgeous clothes, and there's, like, you know, beignets, and, you know, like, I just think, like, I remember mm-hmm. really feeling like the world of the book was really, like, New Orleans kind of set, like, I don't know if that makes sense. So, yeah, just, like, parties and people and gorgeousness, and it's I love this book a lot. No vampires. Sorry. We'll think about it.
I can do plus size with vampires,
but no fashion.
But
that's
probably
okay.
No fashion.
Give me that one.
There is a Lindsay Sands book. One of the Lindsay Sands Argenaux series is a plus size heroine. I need to think about it.
I'll find out which one.
There's also a Sherilyn Kenyon. There's a very famous Sherilyn Kenyon plus size heroine. Hang on. Here I'm typing.
Yeah, it's okay.
The early, it's like the first or second Dark Hunter series book. I'm looking right now. I don't know. Okay. The internet did not serve up what I wanted it to.
Well, again, I think everyone's going to have to check show notes on this because our brains will be working nonstop.
But that one's not about, there's no fashion in that one.
That's okay.
Okay.
All right. Sarah, this book was, like, literally custom made for you.
Oh, boy.
It's from Jess. She would like a book that has an alpha submissive.
Yay! Except I probably... Oh, well, I have one, but I'm saving it because it's for the pegging episode.
That's right. You're just going to have to be saved for the pegging episode.
No, but I'll recommend a couple of them. But Jess, if we've already talked about it, then you probably know most of the ones that I'm going to recommend. But Scarlett Peckham's The Duke I Tempted, Audra North's Giving It Up, Nicola Davidson's The Devil's Submission.
Something like Devil's that. We'll check the title.
Yeah. Look at me. I'm doing this without looking them up because I love them so much.
Sure.
I got to think. We've talked about, let's see. Well, those are three.
The
Devil's Submission. Nicola Davidson. That's a super hot one. She's got another one, too. My Lady's Something. Or
Lover is not
It's not that one. But there are two Nicola Davidson's submissive, alpha submissive. Somebody called Wit an alpha submissive the other day, and I think that could be it. Could work. Jen does not think alpha submissives exist. We're going to do that when pegging, when we do our pegging episode. But I actually found a really good alpha submissive book that I'm going to talk about on that episode.
If you were a Kristen Ashley fan, but that's like real specific, you might try Deacon. But again,
is that the one with the horse tails?
No.
Oh, there's a Kristen Ashley one where they're all ponied.
Oh. Here's a great other AMA question from Jess, probably mostly for you, Sarah.
Oh, boy.
She wants to hear more about audiobook production. Do you authors have any say? Do you get to check in if they're like jokes are landing correctly, lines are being delivered, or is that all happening?
Not at my pay grade. Yeah. I get to choose my narrator.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So, like, they'll send me a collection. Like, Harper Audio, who does all of my audiobooks, will send me 4 or 5 options.
Cool.
I think what they do is they go out to the their stable of narrators and they say, who's free to do this? Yeah. And then somebody, you know, they send me whoever's free. And then I listen to like, you know, a couple minutes of books that they've done before. Although now my narrator is Justine Eyre, who's amazing. And then we go from there. But no, I don't get consulted.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just a different
Justine's thing. Never asked me any questions about it.
Because that's their professional job.
Yeah. I mean, you would think sometimes pronunciation would come up, but I mean,
sure,
it's fine. I also don't listen to my own audiobooks, so I actually have no idea.
I'm not sure we're going to be able to answer this question, but we're going to put some recs in show notes. So Leslie from San Francisco is looking for a heroine who is over 50, but was single, right? Like not widowed or divorced. And I feel like all the ones I'm thinking of are people that have been. However, I will tell you that every time someone asks me on Twitter about there's a name for romances like this, it's seasoned romance. And on Twitter, I almost always refer people to Sandra Antolini. Is that her name? And I think she hosts a Facebook group for seasoned romance authors, but also I think readers. And I think it's actually, there's been a lot of buzz about it lately where people are really asking for these types of questions. In the meantime, though, I will give you a recommendation that is not that the characters are single, but it is a Thanksgiving romance. So it's on brand. It's called Apples Are Red by Penny Reed. Penny Watson. Apples Should Be Red is the title, and it's actually a pretty cute story. These two, like, essentially a couple, right, gets married, and their parents are going to come for Thanksgiving, and it turns out that they can't actually get there. And so their parents are like there together without them.
Oh, and they're horrified.
Yeah, but like it's a 62-year-old hero and a 59-year-old heroine.
Adorable.
And they actually, like, he's real salty and she's just like, put a lid on it. And it ends up being like essentially the next day when their kids get there, they're like essentially horrified to find their parents like in bed together. And it's real great. And it's a short story. You could literally read it in an afternoon.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I feel like we see these a lot as secondary romances in romances and never as the primary romance. My two recommendations are both queer romances. Okay. But again, I'm not sure.
There's
the Courtney Milan,
it's got a long title. So of course we don't know it.
Something or other.
Right.
Hang on. I'm looking it up right now. Well, the first one is called Bound with Love by Megan Mulry. One of them is a divorcee, so there is that. And so it's two women. They have the older one is a marchioness and has children, and the younger, and she lives with her. It's Regency, and she lives with her partner, who is a painter, a portrait painter. And it's sort of, it's a very sort of quiet, lovely Regency. And then Courtney has the...
it's got a long title. That's why, of course, we can't remember it. I feel like the word incomparable is in it.
Yeah, it's a... blah, 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 blah. Miss Martin's, Mrs. Martin's Incomparable Adventure, which is super duper feminist. Both the heroines are in their 70s, I want to say.
One is.
Or at least one is in her 70s. It's much older. But we'll keep thinking about,
That one.
Het romance featuring older heroines. I've got a great sexy one, but she's not 50. She's over 40. I think she's like 43. Mm. And it's a London Hale, like.
Yeah, she's great.
Blah, 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 blah. the heroine is the mayor of a small town, and she has been like, she is single. She's never been married. She's never really been in a serious relationship because she's always been very focused on her work. And she, falls into calling, a phone sex line. And the person who runs the phone sex line happens to be, because Romancelandia, a fireman, a young firefighter in her town.
Hot.
And he figures out, because he sees her on like cable access.
Oh, that it's her
voice. One day that it's her. And he like has fired. He's fired. He's left all his other clients. And now basically he is only on call for her whenever she wants to have phone sex.
That's great.
And it's real sexy. And like her age is a big their age difference, because he's almost 20 years younger than her.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the name in just a second, but keep going.
Okay. Well, while Sarah looks up that name, this is actually a really funny AMA question we can answer without looking up anything.
Talk Dirty to Me is the name of that book. London Hale's Talk Dirty to Me.
What's your go-to Starbucks or coffee order, Sarah?
I like a cold brew. I am a person who drinks iced coffee year round.
Interesting. I drink hot coffee year round. Oh. It'll be the height of summer. They'll be like, do you want it hot? I'll be like, yes, I do.
Nope. And dead of winter, I want it cold.
Interesting.
Yep.
I get, usually it's real boring. I used to get like a vanilla latte. It's too sweet for me now. Now I just get a non-fat latte one Splenda.
Yeah. I find that too. As I'm getting old, it's...
Too bad my kid's not here. He's got all these wacky Starbucks orders. We'll record him being like, he'll be like, I want the pink drink with coconut milk instead of water. Like wacky shit like that. I don't even
just
know what he's talking about.
Just fuck with them.
Yeah, I think. Totally.
That's why people...
They don't even blink, though.
No.
They're just like, sure, great, the pink drink, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Carly from Atlanta is also looking for There's Only One Bed, historical edition. Bonus points if they don't have sex at that time, but they do later. And I feel like I want to talk about what is Romancelandia's favorite Christmas book, which is A Lady Awakened. That's not it. It's by
Cecilia Grant. Cecilia Grant, Lady Awakened, yeah.
But I don't think that's the title of this one, but it is, hold on, let me look. It is called, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm like scrolling down here. Oh, A Christmas Gone Perfectly Wrong is the one I'm thinking about, which is Andrew is, oh God, he's like so uptight. They always are, these old time historical Only One Beds. And instead he ends up with Lucy Sharp, and they have to, like, they essentially go off and she wants to go to this house party and essentially is going to like hitch a ride with him, and they get stuck and there's only one bed and they have to pretend that they're married, of course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she, he is like way too wound tight for them to actually do it.
No.
So that I do not think happens, but it's pretty great.
I'm trying to think. There are so many.
Yeah, it's almost like an embarrassment of riches, and it's hard to come up with one.
Then you become like frozen with. I mean, I've written it a lot. I feel like
Can I tell you a funny story while you're thinking
please,
of it?
Please.
Okay. So a guy I used to work with and I had coffee because he reads a little romance. And so we'll get together and we'll like sort of chat. And he was like listening to a podcast, I think, where we talked about this. And he was like, I just never realized that like only one bed was like a thing until I heard you guys. And I was cracking up. I was like, yeah, that's like all that matters is only one bed. Joanna Lindsay, you belong.
I mean, it feels like there's only one bed is in every road trip romance.
Yeah.
There's a Stephanie Lawrence romance.
Oh.
I mean, Stephanie does it. Like, I feel like Stephanie does only one bed in almost every book.
Yeah.
But there is a Stephanie Lawrence road trip romance where it's literally, like, I think she was toying with herself and being like, how many times can there be only one bed in this book? And it's road trip, and literally at every inn,
there's only one bed.
And I don't think they do it for a long time.
Find out what that book is, Sarah. I just read a There's Only One Bed and it delighted me as it always does, but I'm pretty sure they did do it.
I mean, I literally looked up Stephanie Lawrence Only One Bed and there are 4,000 return. Like, honest to God, there are so many. I want to say his name is like Edward or something. Hmm. No, her name is Edwina. All right, we'll put it in show notes. I'm sorry.
Okay, well,
it's not that one. Never mind. I'll find the Stephanie Lawrence and we'll put it in show notes.
Okay.
We'll also put some others in show notes. Sure. Check show notes because there we definitely have.
Oh, yeah, so many of them.
All right, let's do one more and then that'll be the end of this episode.
Oh, well, this is a good one. Shannon from Atlanta.
Hi, Shannon.
Says, I'd like a book that his ghosts. I need all the ghosts. I'm rereading Lynn Curlin's Stardust of Yesterday to see if I'm madly in love with Kendrick like 14-year-old me was, but I need more ghosts for spooky seasons and for always.
Well, I just read The Halloween Boo.
right.
But I think I think I know who this is. I think this is Shannon Donahue.
Is this your Shannon?
So I think she's already read Halloween Boo.
I just heard about Hot Ghost by Annika Martin, who apparently is going to be our right.
She's our popular author today.
Yeah, right, for sure. I mean, I think Annika Martin, I'm always pretty much down with.
You've probably read Dark Needs at Night's Edge, which has a lady ghost. Jen and I think that it's a fine introduction into IAD. Don't have to have read anything else by Cressley Cole in the Immortals After Dark universe to read Dark Needs at Night's Edge. That's a ghost book. But again, I'm pretty sure, Shannon, that I know who you are and I know you've done this before. Let's see what else. Ghosts are hard. I feel like there aren't as many ghost romances as there should be, considering.
Well, it does seem at odds with the HEA.
I guess, yeah. That's fair.
You know, that little problem.
All right. Well, we'll keep thinking, but,
we will keep thinking.
Yeah. We got to think. That's a hard one. I feel like we should do one more.
We should do one more. That was like not a good ending. Well, this one might be a good one. So, Natalie from Tampa would like a sexy but serious bodyguard saves the heroine from her evil husband, or sexy bodyguard that is hired by the father to care for some wild heroine. That's a good one. And or sexy but consensual teacher-student relationships.
Oh, I could do teachers.
Why don't you do that one? I cannot, but you can.
I know. Jen doesn't like them.
Well, that's because of my job.
I know, but it's not like they're middle school teachers.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, fine. I will admit I am a professor student. Fucking love this trope. I really do. And wait, did it say not problematic?
Consensual.
Okay. So I have two. One is wilder than the other.
Go for it.
The first one is Charlotte Stein's The Professor.
Oh, so it's Okay, even I admit it's very good.
So it is everything you want. She is the premise, the setup is it's an English professor. It is her English professor. And she is submitting a paper to him. She's required to submit a paper to him. And it turns out that she has submitted, instead of her paper, an erotic fan fiction story that she is working on. And so awkward beyond.
Oh God.
But yes. Instead of him just returning it and doing nothing, he gives her notes on it. And then is basically like, see me after class. And then it just goes, it's bonkers. It's the perfect Charlotte's. It has all the best parts of Charlotte Stein in it, in that he is severely repressed and like he has a giant penis that he is like embarrassed of, which is a Charlotte, like,
for sure,
thumbprint. And he is like, he doesn't want to take his clothes off around her, but he like really wants her to have orgasms all the time. And it's fucking great.
Yeah. Well,
the other one, and this is probably more on the problematic end of the professor student books, is Saffron Kent's The Unrequited. She is not, this story, they are not, she is not his student. He is a poetry professor. It is college set. She sees him, like, I want to say she sees him like on campus and like follows him to class and discovers that he is a poetry professor on campus. And they have this like immensely intense romance where he's like basically like constantly saying to her, like, we can't be doing this. Like, you're like, and it turns out he's married. And I know you guys, you're like, what? But it's an HEA and it all works out fine. And the marriage is like a piece of this puzzle. I don't want to give away too much, but if you are looking for professor student stories, like, this book is complicated and it's nuanced. And Saffron's heroines are always women, young women who are struggling with mental illness in some way, often depression and anxiety. And in this particular case, that is true of this heroine, but also these romances are very dark and there's always some like really traumatic past, in both characters' stories. I think Saffron's incredibly talented. And that's one of my favorite professor student, books.
Okay, The Bodyguard Hired by the Father to Protect the Wild Heroine. I feel like Evil Ex-Husband is, like, again, in my brain. But one that I think, well, I feel like there are two series maybe that you should check out that might have something for you. Lexi Blake has an entire series called Masters and Mercenaries. Isn't that?
I haven't read that. Tell me.
I have read like off and on in this series, I think I'm going to say. And it turns out that they are, I mean, it's essentially like a bodyguard outfit. So there's like a lot of bodyguarding in general. And there's like quite a long series. And so like protecting people, I mean, I think it's like a big part of it. I think there's a lot, like a big BDSM angle in quite a bit of a few of these, but not, I didn't. The one I read, it was, like, totally fine. So, I mean, maybe check that out. I also feel like Rebecca Zanetti might be, like, a person you could look.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she writes lots of, like, sort of bodyguards or, like, these ex-military guys doing bodyguarding. And I feel like maybe she would be a person. So I don't really have specific titles, but I do have, like, some big names that maybe you could check out. I think we should end there. Oh, wait, there's actually a really funny one we can answer from Nisha Sharma.
Yes.
Are bananas sexy, Sarah? No, she would like books that are banana sexy. And then why are we consistently spending all your money? Because you're dumb enough to write into us, Nisha. What's a book that you read last that was bananas sexy?
For the record, Nisha and I talked about Ice Planet Barbarians yesterday.
So sexy.
And she texted me this morning at like the ass crack of dawn saying these barbarian books are bananas. So bananas, they are.
And bananas and sexy.
Bananas sexy.
There you go. I feel like you just answered that.
I mean, well, there's Ice Planet Barbarians for sure. There's Sierra Simone is always good for a sexy book.
I've heard really good things about White Whiskey Bargain by Jody Slaughter. Everybody is talking about that one.
Oh, I got to read that.
So if you would like, I mean, like.
But we like London Hill. We like Brill Harper.
Oh, Brill Harper is like, really good. Yeah, for sure. I would say, oh, and I would say Tiffany Rice.
Tiffany Rice is good.
And it's bananas.
Yeah.
And sexy. So that's what I would say. Kylie Scott, not as bananas, but definitely sexy.
What about Grace Goodwin?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, Nisha. You got to read those Grace Goodwin's books. They're so nonsense. I love them. Oh,
they're super sexy, though. It's great. So, yeah, those are our answers. All right. Thanks, everybody. We are going to see you next time on Faded Mates.
Hi, Faded Mates. This is Michelle Mars. Hi, guys. And the book that blooded me was Kiss and Tell by Suzanne Carey. This was probably back in 1991, I'm guessing. Really a long time ago. And I was a teenager, and I was skulking around the basement and found books that I'm guessing my mother got as a gift. There were three books. They were all from Silhouette Desire. And I started with that one, and I adored it. It was a rich rancher, son of a rich rancher, I guess, and the reporter, who was going to tell a story about his grandfather. And he was trying to protect the grandfather. She was trying to tell a story, but he didn't know that. It was very much falling in love, but there's these secrets and things come out. And I was just hooked with all of the wonderful characters that were involved, because there's lots of great other characters, and hooked with their, you know, conflict and how they were going to resolve it. It was a great book. I've read it so many times. And so, yeah, thank you so much for the podcast. And that's the book that blooded me, Suzanne Carey, Kiss and Tell. Thank you.